It's 135-year history. You go back to the mid-1880s, and can you imagine the time back then when stock growers started using the land and started creating homes here in Montana and businesses, and it just started thriving from there? But they were dealing with a lot of disease and a lot of wranglers as well. Well, they're wrangling with a lot of issues today: tuberculosis, taxes, passing on their land and stewardship, wildlife predation, no shortage of issues to talk about. And today we're talking about them here at the annual convention and trade show of the Montana Stock Growers Association here on Voices of Montana. Two decades strong, working on three. It's an objective perspective, and we appreciate you joining us. As a matter of fact, making us a part of your Montana mornings for all those years, 23, and we're still going strong. At the Stock Growers Convention today, as I mentioned a bit later on, we'll talk more public lands issues with Vicki Olson. She's the chair of the Montana Public Lands Council for the Stock Growers Association based out of Malta. We've chatted with her before. Jerry Bohm is the National Cattlemen's Beef Association president, and he was here, gave a nice speech yesterday as we'll relate that here about taxes and waters of the U.S. and things that stock growers are dealing with on that national basis. And so that's upcoming a bit later on. And Jim Steinbeiser is with us now, who's president of the Montana Stock Growers Association. Jim, how you doing?
Good, Tom. Good to be here.
Yeah, thank you for being here. This is a week where, let me just ask, first of all, of course, Jim is a longtime rancher, and as a matter of fact, you kind of have a diversified operation. You've been running that with your brothers and a cousin, and so it's a family thing, VS Incorporated, out of the Sydney area. I want to chat about that. But when you guys get here and get to convention, what are some of the things that are on your list to accomplish?
Well, primarily resolutions, policy. This is the time to set policy, give us direction for the upcoming year. So that's a very important part of it. But there's a big educational aspect to the convention, too. So we try to have some pretty good stock grower colleges, we call them, with excellent speakers, with some great topics. So there's a lot of learning that can happen here. And, of course, just networking. Networking is important. So those are the three top things. And then have fun, of course.
Yeah, that's important, too, because I think most people in Montana know that the number one industry still is the farming and the ranching. And so there's it just has a ton of tentacles, and it always has. One thing that I talk about frequently is how it has been a foundational base for our values in Montana.
Well, you know, this is our 137th year, so we've been around a while. And it is foundational. And what's really interesting when you read back in some of this history is some of their challenges then are still some of our challenges.
They might
have a little bit different flavor to them, but we face some of the same challenges.
The cow rustlers still?
There's a little bit of that.
It's a different sort of wrestling now, isn't it?
They do it a different way now. Portable panels are very helpful to them nowadays.
Oh, my gosh. And then speaking of cow wrestling, let's just talk about the markets. That's how they're doing it now, isn't it?
That can be one of the ways.
Yeah.
Thankfully, our markets are trending up now, and they got a ways to go to be where we need them to be. But at least they're trending in the right direction, and there's a little more optimism now.
There's a little more oversight into the markets as well, and that's come on over the past number of years. I guess it's sort of an incremental type of thing. And when you talk about meeting here to discuss policy, that the end to that or means, so to speak, relates to the markets. But how have you seen that progression, and what do you think is needed now?
Well, there's a couple of things going on now. Department of Justice is in the middle of an investigation on the packers to see if there's any shady business going on in the recent past. We're very interested to see what they come up with there, and hope for a timely resolution to that. And the other focus for the industry has been transparency. You know, transparency of our prices doesn't necessarily mean we're going to get higher prices, but we can be confident in the prices that are offered. So transparency is very important to us, and we're working on ways that we can improve that.
The other side of markets is marketing. And that's an area where I think the Stockbrokers Association has assisted their members in growing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and price discovery is another element there that's very important to us. So those three together will hopefully give us confidence in prices we're getting. And, of course, with the trends that we're seeing now, I feel like we're in for some good days.
Good, and that's always good news. But I've known everybody in the farming and ranching operation to be pretty optimistic. I think
we have to be,
you
Tom.
You have to be, yeah. Jim Steinbeiser is with us, president of the Montana Stock Growers Association. We're here live today at the annual convention and trade show. Jerry Bone, the National Cattlemen's Beef Association president, will join us here in just a bit. Jim, a long time a history of service for our stock growers and our ranchers and our farmers as Montana Farm Bureau director for a number of years, served on national committees. Let's get to the some big news that came out of Montana recently about tuberculosis being discovered in a herd in Blaine County.
Yes, that has definitely got our attention. And so they've done, they're on their third round of testing there. And of course, when this all happens, they also go to where cattle have moved from that ranch. If they sold a milk cow to somebody, or, you know, all that stuff is followed up, and then that ranch is then tested. Mm. So just in this scenario, the last numbers I heard is 9,200 head of cattle were tested because of that one ranch. So it's a big deal, and it's a big deal because tuberculosis can be spread from livestock to humans, and, of course, humans to livestock. So that's why it's so important to everybody, that we not let it spread, and we find the source if we can, and that's not always possible.
There's a process in not letting it spread, as you talked about, third round of testing. That is so key. Is there an update outside of just the numbers tested? You're always looking for the newest information when it comes to prevent that outbreak.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And, of course, the outbreak can come from wildlife, too. So this is a very big challenge. And so you try to find the source. If you can find the source, then that really can help you deal with the whole situation. But that's not always possible. So they're working on it through DNA testing. They try to trace back and locate the source. And of course, there's another ranch now that's being investigated. From what I hear, it sounds like there might not be anything there.
Okay.
So that would be very good news. And that's in Madison County.
Yeah, there was some talk yesterday, as a matter of fact, as we were here, as this convention goes on, about an animal testing hot in that regard. And I think the thing that's interesting is Blaine County and Madison County are not connected geographically.
They are not. And there's no connection as far as livestock trade either. So it's two unique cases. And so hopefully there's nothing to the Madison case. And it sounds like it's just not known at this time.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
But the news is sounding better as we go.
That's good. There's an update for you here. Jim Steinbeiser is with us, president of the Montana Stock Growers Association. I'm Tom Schultz. It's Voices of Montana, from Montana, for Montana. Hard to get off of that topic because it is so vital to our ranching and our farming community, because they're intertwined in a lot of ways. You've got a diversified operation there as well. How do you manage a potential outbreak
on your home ranch?
Yeah.
So a lot of times these are found by a call cow you might sell, and they check all lungs when they're in the processing facility for these kind of things. And if it looks like there could be a cow of yours potentially with some signs of tuberculosis through the processing facility, then they go back to your ranch and they do a whole herd test. They use a product that they look for a reaction. So they inject the product into the skin of the animal. And if they check them again a few days later, if they see a reaction, they pull those cattle and then they do further testing. And then if there's anything that still looks positive, then they'll put a percentage of those animals down and check their lungs. So it's a long process.
It is. And the investigation side of that thing, I think, is interesting as well. And there is not only that ranch and connecting ranches, but everybody in the industry a bit on pins and needles, too.
Yes. How widespread is this? And it looks like it's very specific, site-specific, so that is good news.
Won't talk about a potential source at this point. I think it's just fair to, if you can pin that down, we'll pass that news along. Let's talk about, as you mentioned, sort of processing. As they do a lot of testing in the processing, we have seen in our state in particular a real processing crunch, but there's some response to that, too.
There is. There's been a lot of expansion in these local MAPA processors throughout the state. In fact, we had a symposium earlier this week that drew a lot of attention. Ranchers wanting to learn how they can market their beef just on a local level through local processors. And these local processors are expanding. And, you know, that adds up, Tom.
Yeah. Well, and they're processing because there's been some more and more attention being paid to it. There's been some funding that's been a part of that as well. But there's also still risk in that. And part of that processing, I think, as we're discovering with this last 2 years working through the pandemic, is that more and more individual consumers want to know where their beef comes from. So they are, out there buying individual animals as much as they can and trying to get that processed?
You know, this COVID situation has really put a focus on this. Yeah. And when there started to be shortages in the grocery store, consumers started saying, hey, where can we find our beef? And you know, Tom, beef is what they were looking for.
Yeah.
That was very good news.
Yeah.
So that kind of really got things started. And it's just exploded from there.
Will it have an effect on the large processors, do you think?
I think so. Okay. There's talk of several new processing facilities going in. There's one in Idaho. There's potential one in Montana,
in your
a sizable
area,
one. And then there is one that was just built in Sydney.
Yeah.
With a capacity of up to 150 head a day. And he's rolling. He's not up to 150 a day, but he's really going, and he's had great response to that.
Yeah.
He's marketing a lot of beef.
That is 150 days a large process.
It is.
Yeah.
Not compared to the big four.
Right.
But for Montana, that's large.
That's good, and that's good news too for people. And now and again they'll process an elk too or a deer as much as they can. That's usually the smaller process.
Yes.
Yeah. Jim, thank you so much for your service to the farming and ranching community, and thanks for being here. It's just 135 plus, history. It's just vital to Montana, and I can't thank you enough.
Well, thank you, Tom. Appreciate
it. Yep, Jim Steinbeiser. We'll head on to a short break and come on back. Jerry Bowen will be with us, and there's some things to talk about as well when we look at what's happening with the administration, how that affects our farming and ranching communities. We come on back.
My son is not some statistic.
My daughter's not a headline.
My girl, she's not someone's agenda.
What
she is.
Is irreplaceable.
COVID hospitalizations of young people have tripled since the start of summer.
So I talked to my daughter's doctor about COVID vaccines.
And she said they're highly effective in preventing hospitalizations
and deaths, even from the Delta variant.
We can do this. Find vaccines near you at vaccines.gov. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
The annual convention and trade show, the Montana Stock Growers Association. Keep mentioning that history because for me, it's just so foundational to Montana. It's the stock growers and it's the farmers and ranchers that created our towns and our communities, and they still fuel the prosperity in those towns and communities. Tom Schultz back here live at the Doubletree in Billings, Montana, for this annual convention. It runs through tomorrow here. Trade show, we're at the trade show area here. It's so big, they've got to have two hotels down in Billings, Montana to conduct this. Jerry Bone is with us now. He's the 2021 NCBA president. That's the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. From Pratt, Kansas, had part of the part owner of Pratt Feeders. You just can't do this job, Jerry, without being in the industry, can you?
No, you can't. And, Tom, it's good to be with you all here in Montana. Montana Stock Growers and Montana Beef Council are very important partners of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. So it's important that we're here and represent the National Association and to thank all of the hardworking ranchers and farmers here in Montana for their participation with us.
I asked Jim this question, too, but when you gather like this, what are some of the things that you want to accomplish?
Well, I think, first of all, put a face to the association. I know we also have a booth here in the trade show with a couple of our staff members are here to answer questions and to solicit members. But it's important that we get out and hear what the concerns are of producers across the country, as well as update them on the work that we're doing in Washington on policy issues and certainly with our Federation of State Beef Councils on checkoff issues.
Let's go to Washington, D.C., then, at the swamp, as they say it, as they call it. There are a lot of proposals coming out of this current administration that have a direct effect on our farmers and our ranchers.
No doubt about it. You know, one of the biggest concerns right now that we've really been working on is to protect agricultural interests with the tax consequences that Mr. Biden is proposing. You know, he's wanting to spend a lot of money, and they need to find a way to pay for it. So we've had to work really hard to protect the tax advantages that agriculture enjoys, such as step-up in basis, capital gains tax at lower levels. They were also looking at eliminating some of the state tax exemptions, lowering those.
Right.
Like-kind exchanges were also under consideration. Thankfully, we've gotten through so far, at least through the House of Representatives, with none of that being hit. Now, there's still discussion going on in the Senate, so we're still having to pay attention to that, and hopefully that when it's all said and done, that we can protect all of those tax benefits that we currently have. You know, if we lost step-up in basis, it would really hinder the opportunity for ranchers and farmers to transition their farms and ranches to the next generation. So we've really got to work to protect that.
And explain that step-up in basis for folks who might not understand the importance to our communities.
Well, probably many operations, probably here in Montana, like many other parts of the country, the family bought the farm or ranch many, many years ago at a considerably lower price. That land has increased in value. So the only way that we can pass on to the next generation without paying a huge amount of taxes or having to sell the part of the ranch right. to pay the estate taxes to enjoy a step-up in basis, when in actuality, when it's passed to the next generation, then they get the new value of the land rather than what they would have to pay tax on if it was at the original purchase price.
And part of that relates to the push, or at least the discussion, to tax unrealized capital gains as well, which would be another would be hard-pressing for the families.
Yeah, and that's the potential there you mentioned is a double taxation. In
yeah.
fact, you know, you would have a state tax, and then you could also have capital gains tax, too. So it's really important that we minimize that and protect that.
Jerry Bone with us, president of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association here on Voices of Montana. Tom Schultz, we're live at the DoubleTree, the annual convention and trade show for the Montana Stock Growers Association. News break upcoming. You mentioned yesterday in a presentation during lunch about some of the things that were coming out. Of course, they're trying to raise taxes to pay for these things, but broadband being funded, and there's been increased funding at the state level at various many levels, but you saw that as a positive at least.
Yes, there was an infrastructure bill that was recently passed through the Congress. It was a bipartisan bill signed by the president this week. Included in there was, I think, like $40 billion for broadband internet access for rural communities across the country, and that's something we have pushed on, and we're encouraged by that, as well as the funding for improving roads and bridges and waterways, those kinds of things that will help us move our agricultural products from farm to market.
And in what way? Well, I mean, It'll strengthen communities as well. But as we see more and more farmers and ranchers becoming engaged in the markets on a daily basis, becoming more computer, using more and more computer technology to increase their efficiency, is that the sort of thing that broadband will encourage?
Yes, no doubt about it. You know, getting access, getting a high-speed internet so that they can work at the speed of commerce and those kinds of things is vitally important. And, you know, we're woefully lacking in rural areas for internet access. And so we're really encouraged that this is in this bill.
Are the ranchers going to start playing with drones?
They probably will.
Yeah, I think it would actually help. You know, you put the horse in the barn and you pull out the drone from the case and you go out and see how your animals are doing.
Yeah, drone technology is really catching on, you know, in crop management and livestock management also.
Yeah. We'll take a short break and come on back. Lots to cover. I want to get to the waters of the U.S. And more here. The markets, obviously, with that DOJ investigation to discuss too with Jerry Bowen, president of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, here on Voices.
Last year, after a spectacular leap over the couch, if I say so myself, I snapped my ankle in three places. Through healing and rehabbing, my Pacific Source health plan did exactly what was required. But when I had to miss a bunch of work, Pacific Source showed me what it means to go beyond what's required. They actually helped me connect with community resources, who in turn helped me with my rent and utility bills. And they also found me professional help for all the stress I was under while I couldn't work.
Pacific Source Health Plans, going beyond what's required for members in need.
Back live here. Appreciate you joining us. Vicki Olson will be alongside a bit later on to talk public lands issues here for the Montana Stock Growers Association. National Cattlemen's Beef Association President Jerry Bowen is with us here. Tom Schultz alongside from the Northern News Network. It's Voices of Montana. Before we run out of time, let's hop into the markets, Jerry. Investigation regarding the Department of Justice, obviously a key point for you guys to follow.
Yes, marketing issues have been front and center for the beef industry for the last couple of years, you know, starting with the Tyson, Kansas plant packing plant fire in 2019. Then we had the pandemic, cyber attacks on some of our packing plants. Needless to say, we backed up a lot of cattle, and we're just now finally getting back out from under it, and prices are headed in a better direction. It looks like 132 plus probably this week here for our fed cattle, so that's the highest in about 4 years.
Yeah, and that's good news. Do you think that Department of Justice investigation will amount to anything?
We've asked for it to be completed. You know, it's been ongoing since the Tyson fire in 2019. We haven't heard anything from them recently about where it's at. My suspicion is they're just not ever going to announce anything.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people share that as well. But there's been more political pressure put on that as well, and
yes.
I think that helps. Let's move to a couple of things. You stay up late night poring over legislation, so the farmers and ranchers aren't staying up late night worrying about that legislation. What else is on the docket?
There's two new pieces of legislation that just got introduced recently. Representative Dusty Johnson from South Dakota introduced a cattle contract library. Proponents of that would say that it will be more transparent, provide more information to producers about alternative marketing arrangements. Some of the larger cattle feeding companies are concerned about sharing that data, but also that once it's shared, that the processors will be able to dissect it and use it to benefit themselves and against producers. So that's one thing that's on the docket that's going through the Congress right now. And then the second thing was a compromised Grassley-Fisher bill here that would mandate some negotiated trade in regions around the country. But it also appears that this new legislation would force some of the alternative marketing trade that goes on in the Southern Plains to be transferred to the Northern Plains. And so there's some concern about that, of picking winners and losers. So we've got to see how all this is going to work out. The language for that bill, I think, just got published really late yesterday, so we've not had really access to it to fully understand it yet.
And that's interesting, and the mandates are, I've talked about them, I just don't appreciate them. I think they're politically motivated more than economically motivated.
Yes, and NCBA has policy against mandated trading, you know, and I made the comment yesterday, and I say this kind of facetiously, but do we really want the people who got us out of Afghanistan to tell us how to market our cattle? And I really don't think that we do.
I think people would agree with that. We got like about 30 seconds here. Waters of the U.S., I know it's an issue we have followed. An update on that, do you think we'll be able to get that tide turned back in the direction it was under the previous administration?
We're going to be involved in helping rewrite this. They've made us aware that they're doing it's not going to be as onerous as the 2015 rule. It's probably not going to be as favorable for agriculture as the 2020 rule that the Trump administration put in place. But we're going to have to relitigate this and rework it again. And we will be at the table on working on behalf of ag producers to make certain that it's not so onerous that we can't operate.
Thanks for coming, Jerry. Thanks for visiting with us here on the radio as well. And much success to you in the work that you do.
Thank you very much, Tom. Thanks for having us.
Jerry Baum, president of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association here as we are live. We'll continue on from the Montana Stock Growers Annual Convention and Trade Show after this.
Voices of Montana continues right after this.
Come on and let's eat, 'cause Montana loves beef. Mm-hmm. Mouth-watering sizzle on the grill for you. Breakfast, lunch, or dinner, always on your menu. A top protein, creative recipes. At beefitswhatsfordinner.com. Come on and let's eat, 'cause Montana loves beef.
Somebody who would know a little bit about beef is a third-generation rancher from Phillips County who, along with her family, has been a part of a ranching experience for 100 years, and she's president of the Montana Public Lands Council. Vicki Olson joins us. Good morning, Vicki.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm hanging in there. How about you?
Oh, yeah. We're into what, third or fourth day?
So. Yeah. You know, I asked Jim this, and I asked Jerry this as well. When the stock growers come together on an annual basis, and it's more than that, what are the things that you like to accomplish as you're here?
Well, of course, it's always getting your voice heard and your concerns addressed and getting an organization behind you so that you can maybe make, I mean, it's not just you talking, it's a whole industry.
Yeah.
And so for that, you go through the committee structure and then on up, and then that gives the stock org staff guidance for how to go for the next year.
A lot of policy issues being discussed here as well. And in your arena, Montana Public Lands, it's almost all about policy, isn't it? Stewardship and policy, but you're dealing with a lot of policy issues so that farmers and ranchers have the freedom and the tools to be stewards of the land that they have always been.
Yes, and that is going to be one of the big things that we are facing with the 30 by 30, because our first thing out of our mouth is grazing is good, and we are having to take that to the Department of Interior and the BLM and reiterate, because in the 30 by 30, they're talking changing all of our grazing regulations and stuff like that of grazing on federal lands. And so it's important that we're back there getting our voices heard. And Caitlin Glover was here. I think she spoke at three different meetings before she left. And she is knocking on their door every day and having lunches with them and stuff, so that she's trying to help direct the policy before it actually comes out. You don't have to wait for the product to come out and go, oh, darn, you know.
Right.
If you can meet with them in the back and try and convince them that, yes, grazing is good. Look how the range is now. You know, we're doing a good job.
Well, and one thing that's true about Congress and government in particular is that they respond to squeaky wheels. Vicki Olson is with us here, chair of the Montana Public Lands Council, part of the Montana Stock Growers Association, also with Rancher Stewardship Alliance, retired EMT, served in the Phillips County in that area for a lot of years, 4-H volunteer. Very community-oriented. I kind of want to, and as you mentioned, Glover.
Caitlin Glover.
Caitlin Glover, yes. She's the executive director of the National Public Lands Council.
Correct.
Yeah. The policies that, getting back into 30-30, that's sort of a mixed bag. And maybe you should explain what 30-30 is for the folks, and then we can talk about how they're, I believe, trying to just initiate that in small steps.
30 by 30 is Biden's directive to conserve 30% of the land by 2030. And by that, land and water. And so what that is putting monuments or parks or heritage areas, which Montana had already had a little problem with. But yes, they're not wanting to recognize that BLM land, which if they administer it, should be, I mean, wouldn't you think that would be considered conserved? Where, like, keep adding more and more and more federal mandates and stuff like that, and that's what we do not need or want, because, like I say, I've always say, grazing is good, and you'll find most ranchers are really, really good stewards.
Right. The science behind that also supports your position.
That's right. It does. We do improvements. We, like, do water sources so that you spread the grazing out and move them so there's regeneration. There's a lot to be said for what the ranchers do with grazing and fuel reductions for fires in certain areas, stuff like that, that should be used more, in my opinion. You know, grazing, why not use that instead of just burn it up?
There's been there's always been quite a bit of attack, I think, or I should say opposition, when it comes to this arena, managing public lands.
Yes.
Vicki Olson is with us here, Montana Public Lands Council Chair for the Montana Stock Growers Association. Given that, the 30-30 proposal has been around for a long time, so it's not something that you're unaware of. One way that I think that they're trying to accomplish some of those goals is to rewrite the waters of the U.S., and that is obviously a huge issue. Your thoughts on that?
It is a huge issue, and we worked really, really hard during the last administration to get away from the puddle in my backyard or your backyard, or there might be a little, you know, trickle or a spring or something.
And people think that that's an exaggeration, but it's not.
It's not.
Yeah.
And so we had gotten that all waters of the U.S. taken out of that and through all the hoops and everything, got it signed and thought we'd put that one to bed. Well, this administration has decided they're going to take that all back and put it all back on the table, and that's really worrisome for anybody that has, I mean, maybe not the person in town, but any of us out on the range that use water, and it's going to affect people with, like, rivers and creeks and stuff like that. And it's not that ranchers are opposed to clean water, because we're very good advocates for clean water.
It helps your operations,
and management. So, and I guess that's where I kind of take offense, is they always point at us and say we're doing really bad, when I don't think you're going to find anybody stewards and people trying to do it right than the ranchers and the people that are out on the ground.
And you have to continue making that case. The waters of the U.S., it's the navigable waters of the U.S. That, so they're using that in a way that the original rule wasn't intended.
Yeah.
Moving on to one of the things, again, as we look at public lands, is the struggle to get local management, state management back of some of these wildlife species that have been declared endangered or threatened. Again, that's an avenue where administrations or policies can corrupt that and use that to put regulations over wide swaths of land, in the case of the Canadian lynx, for that matter.
Yeah.
How has, again, the ranching and the farming community been able to be engaged in that conversation in a meaningful way, so that the wolves, which is being looked at again, and the grizzly bears, which has been recovered in the Northern Continental Divide, certainly in the Yellowstone area for a number of years.
Yep.
How do farmers and ranchers get engaged in that for effective policy?
Well, first of all, join organizations like PLC or Stockers, or, you know, because getting a voice, getting it back to our congresspeople. And like I was telling you, that Caitlin goes to those agencies. And when we have our meetings with, or, and we have monthly phone calls, our problems are told to the people there, and they go to the agency. So it's really important that that Caitlin knows what it's like and has personal experiences. And if this congressman wants to talk to somebody, they can just say, okay, fine.
Yeah. Yeah. So staying engaged.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Engagement.
Yeah,
yes.
It's very important. Vicki, thank you for your service to our farmers and our ranchers and our communities. Appreciate that.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, Vicki Olson. As we'll take a short break, she's the Montana Public Lands Council Chair. We're here at the Montana Stock Growers Association, the annual convention and trade show. Come visit our booth here, Northern Ag Network. We'd love to see you. We'll talk maybe about real Montana. Joe Dooling is going to join us next. Yeah, let's catch up with that old coot, huh? How about it? Back with more in just a bit.
Hunters, as we get into big game season, we'd like to remind you that we're all stewards of an incredible resource, and that ethical hunting ensures we get to keep doing what we love. Respecting private landowners and the access they provide is more important than ever. The positive relationships and interactions between hunters and landowners pays dividends down the road for all recreationists. Remember, respect land, landowners, wildlife. Pass it on. Learn more at fwp.mt.gov/pass it on.
All right, back here at the annual convention and trade show, the Montana Stock Growers Association, 135-plus years. I mean, you go back to when it all started, and it was there was a whole different history in the state of Montana back then, but they're still dealing with a lot of the same issues as well, as we have heard from a lot of our guests here today. Jim Steinbeiser, president of the Stock Growers. Jerry Bone was with us here, National Cattlemen's Beef Association. I just wrapped up with Vicki Olson, and now it's the Doolings, Joe and Julie Dooling. Julie, let's start with her. She's, because she has actual credentials. Representative for House District 70, Vice Chair of the House Ag Committee as well. How you doing?
I'm doing good, Tom. Thank you.
Thank you for being here. And, of course, we know Joe. Chat with him, a former a chair, I think, of the is it Broadwater?
No, Lewis and Clark County.
Lewis and Clark County Republicans. And whenever we need to get a check-in of the farming and ranching community, we check in with Joe. How you doing, Si?
I'm doing good, Tom. You know what this week is, right?
I certainly do. Bobcat, it's a Brawl of the Wild.
Brawl of the Wild. And I'm not sure where your allegiance are, because, you know, you've done the radio for both, and I'm just not really sure. I'm kind of nervous sitting next to you, you know, because I'm not sure where your allegiance are. But this house is a Bobcat house.
Is that right, Julie?
It is.
You know, what's really cool, Tom, is our house is the almost like to a mile distance from the both stadiums. You know, so, you know, it's 110 miles to Missoula and 110 miles to Bozeman, and it's just, so we could go whatever which way. So.
That's cool. Well, Julie, I got to tell on you, because just a moment ago, you gave us that politically correct answer.
I did.
Yeah, I'm for that. I'm for Montanans, and I think a lot of people are. I mean, there's a lot of houses divided here, too.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of fun. So, you got any take on this this week?
Well, you know, this morning, you know, the legislature, and Julie could talk about this, but the legislature opened up sports betting in Montana, right?
Yeah,
so I pulled it up this morning, and the odds are given at 3.5 points to the Cats. And I'm like, 3.5, that's kind of a tough one. But
that'd be a tough call.
It'd be a tough call. Yeah. I think it's going to be tough. Both teams are having a little bit of injury issues to deal with. But, you know, Tom, and you know this better than anybody in the room, that when it comes down to the Brawl of the Wild, it's all fair game. Previous records don't mean anything. Nothing. It's the kids are wound up, and there's a lot on the line.
I want to tell a story. I probably don't have time, but I've done some sports shows, and there's a gentleman who was with me on the sports show, was just calm and collected throughout the entire season, you know, straight-laced. And then when Grizzcat Week came up, he was a different creature completely. Yeah. That's how it is. Julie, let's catch up with you, Vice Chair of the House Ag Committee. Do you guys think you made some progress in this last session?
Oh, for sure we did. We did. You know, we passed some really good bills, bills that we've been trying to get through for, you know, 16 years. And, we made some good reforms for election law. And I think we made some good steps.
What's next? you always leave something on the plate. Are there things that you want to continue? Maybe it's marketing. Maybe, of course, the producers are facing a lot of challenges when it comes to the inputs, and I'm not sure how much our state legislature can affect inflation.
True. But, you know, we're making some good steps. We had some bills this last session for the meat packers, and, you know, we have to build on those.
Yeah.
There's always room for growth, room for improvement, and we'll just continue to do what's best for Montana farmers and ranchers.
Why don't you talk about, go, Joe, you want to?
Well, you know, Tom, this is the month that we all get our property tax bills.
Yeah.
And I think everybody was in shock as they opened those up, and a lot of the pandemic is kind of triggered a lot of people moving here, and we've had a lot of sales that have increased our property values, and that's reflecting in our property taxes. So you talk about what can the legislature do with inflation. Well, of course, the state of Montana's got lots of inflation they're dealing with in the stuff that they buy and sell, but also which is causing taxes to go up. So it's just this big wave that's just crashing on us, and I'm sure the legislature is going to have to start looking at what can we do with tax policy-wise to give us the relief that's needed, because we're all experiencing this pressure from, you know, out-of-state people moving in to enjoy the freedoms that the legislature passed. I mean, quite honestly.
Yeah, and that's one of the biggest, email issues that I get outside of the session is, what are we going to do with property taxes? Mm-hmm. We can't continue to tax mom and dad, grandpa and grandma out of their houses. And so it was brought up, it was discussed, they're working on it in the interim, and we'll see what they have when we come back to session.
And that's something that Montanans have been dealing with for a lot of years as well.
It
so
is.
There are some ideas out there on the table that maybe just need...
Yeah, you say sales tax and you're dead, right?
Yeah,
can't say sales tax, but it's just, you know, one of these things that we've just got to figure out how to contain the wants, needs, and wishes that people want from the government. It's just costing more and more. Inflation's hurting the state of Montana, just like it's hurting all of us.
Well, and it's something that we have talked here, too, and we're out of time, but as we look at a lot of our industry going toward the recreation side of things and tourism,
right.
There's more and more discussion about a sales tax, and we'll pick that up some other time. Farm Ranch, doing good?
Doing great, Tom. Go Cats.
Thanks, Tom.
You got anything you want to say, buddy?
Go Montana.
Yay.
Yeah. Joe Dooling and Julie Dooling, thank you guys for being here. Good to catch up with you.
Yeah, same here, Tom. Good to see you, buddy.
Chat again. Thanks as well. That does it for us here at the annual convention and trade show for the Montana Stock Growers Association. See you tomorrow.